think that we are going to go straight to Jannah, and I'll give you my dalil for that, because we think that it's our God-given right to frown on other people. And that's my dalil upon that people. Soon as they start coming to the masjid, they believe that they have the right to frown on other people who don't come to the masjid. You should do the shukr of Allah that He allows you to come to the masjid. And you should have a concern for humanity. You should call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nothing gives you the right to think that you are better than other people. Do you know what the first sin of shaitan was? I know what you're going to tell me, pride. But where did this pride emanate from? It emanated from the fact that he thought he was better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And it's a reality that those people that you frown on today, tomorrow they may be better than you. Allah may deprive you of the ni'mah and the barakah He's given you, and He may give it to them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the Israelites there was a lady, and her entire life she spent in prostitution. And upon occasion she was by a well, and she was drinking some water, and she saw a dog, a thirsty dog, and she descended into the well. She took off her tights, and then she drenched it into water, and she came up. And then she squeezed it into the mouth of the dog. And as a consequence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her. As a consequence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her. I remember one bazurg saying, I wish I was that prostitute, because at least her maghfirah is guaranteed. At least her maghfirah is guaranteed. And you look at us, really, if Allah gives us the ability to pray, we think that we have the God-given right to look down on other people. Understand that tomorrow Allah can deprive you and give them hidayat. And you look into the life of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar, upon occasion, he came to Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was that sahabi who was known as the secret keeper of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he came to Hudhayfa. These people who were concerned about their iman. They were concerned about their hereafter. And he came to Hudhayfa. And he said, Hudhayfa, tell Umar, is the name of Umar on the list of the munafiqs? Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu had the list of the munafiqs. And Umar is saying, Hudhayfa, tell Umar, is his name on the list of the munafiqs? Because these people were concerned about their hereafter. And you compare them to us, really. The way we carry, go on, like if we are guaranteed Jannah. Allah has given us the permission to throw other people into Jahannam. This is not your duty or not my duty. This is the duty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He guides whoever He wishes, and He leads astray whoever He wishes. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he called Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and he told Abdullah, he said, Abdullah, go into Medina and ask the people of Medina, is there any person that Umar has oppressed today? For let him take their revenge today. For Umar radiallahu anhu understood that humiliation in this dunya is easier than humiliation in the hereafter. He understood that if you oppress anybody in this dunya, if the person doesn't take revenge, if the person doesn't forgive you in this dunya, then on the day of judgment you will be humiliated in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he understood this, and he was the leader of what? The superpower of the time. He was the most influential, the most powerful man on the face of this earth. But he understood that if people took their revenge today, it would be easier than on the day of judgment. Because he understood the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he said, tell me, who is the poorest from amongst you? Who is the poorest from amongst you? And they said, it's Simo, messenger of Allah, who has no dollar or dime. And the messenger of Allah said, no, it's not him. It's that person who comes on the day of judgment, and he has good actions equivalent to the mountain of Uhud. Have you ever seen the mountain of Uhud? It's not that small mountain where the arches stood. It's that huge mountain behind it. He has actions equivalent to the mountain of Uhud. But he has oppressed people. He has sworn at people. And on the day of judgment, they will come and they will say, Allah, this person oppressed me. And Allah will take his good rewards and he will put it on their shoulders. Until all his good actions are exhausted. And there will still be people waiting. And then Allah will take their evil actions and place it on his shoulders until he has nothing left and he's dragged into the fire of Jahannam. So you understand, it is not sufficient just to do actions, but you must preserve those actions. And the way you preserve those actions is that you don't oppress anybody. And Umar radiallahu anhu was a man who really gave everybody their rights. And it would be no exaggeration to say that Umar was a man who even gave the land its rights. Amr ibn Maymun rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that 3 days before the demise of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu came and he was a governor of a certain place. And Umar was speaking to him about the land. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "How is the land there?" And he told him. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Beware that you do not overburden the land." Subhanallah. "Beware that you do not overburden the land." He gave the land its rights. Upon occasion, a dog drowned in a faraway Muslim land. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he collected the eminent Sahaba and he began to weep. And he said, "What will Umar do on the day of judgment when he will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will say, 'You were Amir al-Mu'mineen. It was your responsibility to look after this dog.'" And to weep. He gave the animals their rights. The reality is that the justice of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was unparalleled in history. He did the khidmah of his subjects. Upon occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu, he went to the outskirts of Medina. And he saw this lady. And around this lady, there are her children. And they're crying out of hunger. And this lady's put a pot of water on and she's boiling it. And she's hoping that the children will think that she's cooking something. And they will fall asleep as a consequence. And Umar radiallahu anhu is watching this from a distance. Then after this, Umar radiallahu anhu, he approached this lady and he said, he gave her salam. And he asked if he could come closer and she allowed him. And Umar radiallahu anhu spoke to her briefly and then Umar radiallahu anhu asked, he said, "What do you say about Umar ibn Khattab?" He asked, "What do you say about Umar ibn Khattab?" She said, "I complain to Allah about Umar ibn Khattab." And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Maybe he doesn't know about you. Maybe he doesn't know about your state." And she said, "He is our Amir and he doesn't know about his subjects. He's Amir al-Mu'mineen and he's unaware of his subjects." And it's as though that her words pierced his heart. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he went back into Medina. He went to the Baytul Mal and he told the keeper to give him a sack of food. And then he told the keeper to place it on his back. And the keeper said, "Amir al-Mu'mineen, let me carry it." And Umar said, "Place it on my back." And then the keeper said, "Let me carry it." And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Place it on my back." "Atahmilu anni dhunubi yawm al-qiyamah." He said, "Will you also carry my sins on the day of judgment? Will you carry my sins on the day of judgment?" And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he hurried back to this lady and he began to light the fire on himself. And the narration mentioned the smoke was coming out of the beard of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And then he cooked the food. And when he cooked the food, then he fed the children with his own hands. And this lady is watching this. And she doesn't know this, Umar ibn Khattab. And she says to him, "I swear by Allah, you are better than Umar ibn Khattab." She's telling Umar ibn Khattab, "I swear by Allah, you are better than Umar ibn Khattab." And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, he was with Umar radiallahu anhu on that night. And it was cold and it was dark. And he said, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's cold and it's dark, let's go back." And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "I swear by Allah, I will not depart from this place until I see the children laughing like I saw them crying." And then before he left, he consoled the lady and she said, "I will speak to Umar about your state." And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu says that, "I swear by Allah, I cannot express to you the way that Umar radiallahu anhu cried in the Fajr Salah because he had seen believers crying out of hunger." How often do we see believers crying out of hunger? How often do we see women who's on our TV sets whose children wither away in their hands because she doesn't have the few morsels to feed her child? How often do we ever lose a minute of sleep over this? How often? Never. And that is a reality. We never. Although it was one of the fatawa of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, that if Umar radiallahu anhu had found out that a person had passed away in some Muslim area out of hunger, Umar would take diya out of everybody in that vicinity. Because it was their responsibility to look after that person. He would take blood money from every single Muslim. And today we live in a global village. Borders are of a very transparent nature. I wonder if Umar radiallahu anhu was here, what his fatwa would have been. What his fatwa would have been. And the next morning when Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting at his desk, the same lady came in. And she heard everybody saying, Amirul Mu'mineen, Amirul Mu'mineen. Then she understood that the man who came to her last night was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he welcomed her in. And he said, oh my sister, tell me that oppression I have afflicted upon you. And she said, Amirul Mu'mineen, what oppression? He said, did you not bring the food yourself? Did you not cook it yourself? Did you not feed my children yourself? And Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, insisted. He said, tell me the oppression I have afflicted upon you. And they agreed on 600 dirhams. 600 dirhams. Do you know what kind of man Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was before he embraced Islam? Shall I tell you what kind of man he was? When the mushrikeen would take their children to the outskirts of Makkah, and they would dig a ditch, and they would throw their daughters alive in the ditch, and they would begin to bury them, and the daughter would shout, Ya Bati, oh my father. Many of them would not have the heart to bury their own daughters alive. And they would come back into Makkah, and they would take Umar ibn Khattab, and he would bury their daughters alive for them. When Umar radiallahu anhu became the Khalif, his companion would see that he would laugh for no apparent reason. And he would cry for no apparent reasons. And upon occasion, somebody plucked up the courage and they asked, oh, Amirul Mu'mineen, what is it? Sometimes we see you crying for no apparent reason. Sometimes we see you laughing for no apparent reason. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, the reason that I often laugh for no apparent reason is that in the days of Jahiliyyah, what the people of Makkah believed was that the idols of Makkah were the most sacred. And upon occasion we were traveling and we had no idol from Makkah, so we had the dates of Makkah. So we carved a god out of our dates. And when our provisions finished, when our food finished, we began to dissect God. Take off his ear, Bismillah. Take off his eyes, Bismillah. And the reason that I cry is that before Islam I had a daughter. And when she reached the age of 6, I took her to the corner of the city and I began to dig. And the wind began to blow and the sand was on my face and she began to wipe the sand off my face. And then I dug the ditch and I threw my own blood into the ditch. And she was shouting, Ya Abati, and I buried my own daughter alive. And sometimes when I recall this, I begin to cry. And today Umar doesn't want to leave this dunya knowing that he had oppressed one person. And he's telling the lady, that sell me the oppression that I've afflicted upon you. Sell me the oppression I afflicted upon you. And they reached the agreement of 600 dirhams. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he wrote a transaction. He said, I, Amirul Mu'mineen, buy from this lady the oppression which I have afflicted upon her. 600 dirhams. And upon this transaction, Ali ibn Talib and Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhuma are a witness. And then he turned to Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, oh Ali, when I die, place this between my kafan and my body. For when I stand up in front of Allah, and Allah says, oh Umar, you oppressed this lady, I would say, Allah, we reached an agreement. This was a man who knew that he would stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he knew that he did not want to leave this dunya, knowing that he even oppressed one person. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he returned and he said, Amirul Mu'mineen, I have been to all the people of Medina. And I asked them, is there any person that Umar has oppressed? Let him take revenge today. And he said, I swear by Allah, I did not pass one group, but they were crying like they had lost their own child. And throughout this, Umar was saying, if Umar leaves this dunya, if I leave here knowing that there is no sin against me and no good for me, I will be happy. Because he was concerned about it hereafter. And the Sahaba were watching this, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, he said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, do not be concerned. For I swear by Allah, you accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he left this dunya and he was happy with you. Then you accompanied Abu Bakr and he left this dunya and he was happy. And you are now leaving the believers and they are happy with you. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, he said, oh Abdullah, will you bear testimony to this on the day of judgment? Will you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say this to Allah on the day of judgment? And Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, I will. And then Umar radiallahu anhu calmed down. And then Umar radiallahu anhu organized the shura, 6 people who would be khalif, one of them would be khalif after him. And then he sent his son. Abdullah radiallahu anhu to Aisha radiallahu anha. And he said, give Islam, but don't say Amir al-Mu'mineen, because today the believers do not have any Amir. And ask her, can Umar be buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? And Abdullah knocked on the door and he went inside and he found Aisha radiallahu anha crying. And he asked her that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu gives you salam, and his request is that could he be buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And she says that I reserved that place for myself, because she was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She said, I had reserved that place for myself, but today I give it to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And when Abdullah came back and Umar radiallahu anhu saw him from a distance, he told the Sahaba, make me sit up straight, because he was excited about the answer. And Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he entered and he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, your wish has been granted. He became happy, he became elated, and he began to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, when you go to bury me and you go past the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, ask her again, maybe she felt compelled to allow me to be buried there because of my station amongst the believers. If she allows, then bury me next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if she doesn't, then bury me in the graveyard of the belief. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he told the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he said, when I die, be moderate in my kafan, in my shrouds, because if Allah has good for me, then He will give me better shrouds than these, and if Allah has bad for me, then Allah will strip me of these as well. And then he said, be moderate in my grave, because if Allah has good for me, then Allah will expand it. Allah has bad for me, then Allah will make this even tighter. And then shortly after this, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu passed away. And when he passed away, Uthman radiallahu anhu saw him in a dream. And he asked him, he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, when the angels came to you in your grave, what did they say to you? Because when the angels come to you in your grave, they ask you, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, when the angels came to me in my grave, I asked them, Man Rabbukuma, who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? See, the life of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was the life of a man who acted upon the ayah, إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. Indeed, my salah, my prayer, my entire sacrifice, and my entire life is for Rabbul Alameen. The reality that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu's entire life was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reality is further. The reality is that as long as Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu lived, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected this ummah. As long as Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu lived, Allah protected his ummah from any major fitna. Imam Bukhari has related in his Sahih that upon occasion Umar radiallahu anhu asked the Sahaba, who is the most knowledgeable regarding the fitna, the strife? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu jumped up and said, it's me, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he began to mention a few fitnas. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, not that fitna. I'm asking you about that fitna, tamujuka mawjil bahr. That fitna, the waves will be like the waves of the oceans. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, why do you want to know about that fitna? For between you and that door. And Umar radiallahu anhu asked, will that door be open or will it be broken? He said, no, it will be broken. Then Umar radiallahu anhu said, it will not be closed until the day of judgment. And Abu Wail, the narrator, mentions that I asked Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, did Umar know who that door was? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, I swear by Allah, Umar knew who that door was, like he knew that the night preceded the day. And then Abu Wail says that we asked Masruq to ask Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, who was that door? Who was that door that as long as he lived, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected this ummah from any major fitna? And Masruq rahmatullah alayhi asked Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, who was that door? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu replied, that door was Umar ibn Khattab. As long as Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu lived, Allah protected this ummah from fitna. His life was a protection for this ummah. And this is why he asked him, would that door be open or would it be broken? And he said, no, it would be broken. This meant shahadat, that he would be martyred. That indeed my salah, my sacrifice, my life and my death is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've seen today that the death of Umar ibn Khattab was solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That after he was stabbed, he did not waste one moment in other than the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He stabbed a number of times, but every second of his life is spent in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He, on the day of judgment, you will have many martyrs. You will have those martyrs which the land of Bosnia will give a witness to their martyrdom. You will have those shuhada which the land of Iraq, you will have those land of Palestine, those shuhada the land of Kashmir, those shuhada the land of Iraq, those shuhada the land of Qadisiyah, those shuhada the land of Badr, those shuhada the land of Uhud. But for Umar ibn Khattab, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give a witness to his shahada. Not only the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give a witness to his shahada. And not only the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the masalla of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give a witness to his shahada. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.